Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
My name is Morgan Freeman, and you're listening to How to Kill an Hour podcast. Get busy killing an hour or get busy dying. And that's goddamn right.
Are you serious?
So there's plenty of ways to kill some time out there. Right now, you're about to kill some time with myself, Marcus Bronzy. Today, I'm joined by a friend of the show. You've been on it before.
Yes.
Tommy, a.k.a. Gadgets Boy. Welcome to the studio, son.
Thanks for having me again, man. It's good to be back.
No problem, man. I think we had you back around the same time last year as well, which was post-MWC. Which
That's very true, yeah.
It's like a yearly little reunion, isn't it? which we'll talk about in just a moment. But first things first, I just want to give a few shout-outs. In fact, do you want to big up some people that have been getting involved on the socials?
Yeah, shout out to Creative31, Jameson Marcel Hugh, and Will RV from Diageo.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He sent us some whiskey. We did some like whiskey tasting with Alexa. So,
right.
That was like a couple of episodes back. It's pretty cool. Otis came on from the Gadget Show.
So, oh, nice.
Yeah. It was like AI and whiskey. It's pretty good.
Such a nice guy.
Yeah.
And, let's not forget Song Whip,
yep.
Chris Gill.
Yep.
And Gabrielle
Hibbert. Yeah, nice to meet you. Also, hello to Sophie as well. Loyal fan alert, wave. She's said she's loving all the episodes. Keep up the great work. You're making all my drive so much easier. I really look forward to listening. Please, can we have an episode discussing the Shamina stuff that's flooding the news? What's your thoughts on this? Also, where's Funk? You and Funk make me laugh. Look, Funk's about, yeah. He's pushing his single, Swipe the Leap. He'll be back on the show real soon. Wow, so Sophie wants us to turn this from a tech podcast into a political podcast. What I will say is it's very interesting that social media can really focus a big group of people into having one kind of conversation in the same way that newspapers used to conventionally. So like before social media, we talk about what's in the papers. We talk about what's in EastEnders. That's it, fact, innit?
Mm-hmm.
And we did say like when Twitter became like big, we were like, wow, there's so many different little conversations, but people have worked out how to hack that.
Yeah,
and you can now make sure that Twitter's going to talk about something one day.
Yeah, it's funny though. They all drive each other in a certain sense because as soon as that becomes news, people get interested in it. And the first place to go to discuss that opinion compared to before when they go in forums and comment sections on blogs, now they just go straight on social media to chat about it because straight away someone else is going to see and engage in that conversation with them.
Where do you think the rawest talk is at the moment? In 2019, in March, where do you go on social media for that conversation that's unfiltered?
I think certain conversation starts from Twitter because Twitter allows that a bit of freedom of conversation there for people to talk about anything. But I think Facebook allows a deeper conversation because the comments just goes crazy and you can easily track that thread.
Yeah.
And then funny enough, now on Instagram, there are blogs, you know, screenshots, conversations and all kind of stuff.
Yeah,
and
have you seen that? Yeah.
So they're dragging that conversation there as well. So I think it's all over the place. But Twitter's where, geez, like you could come there and it's 10 comments, 10 replies, come back about an hour later and it's made the news. People are using it as a news source now.
Exactly. Yeah, that's true. Twitter is the news source. So I think with this whole situation, it's kind of really, there's been such focus around this conversation within social media. That's been very interesting for me.
Mm.
I mean, in terms of my personal opinion on this, I don't want to get into it on
the
show. You know what I mean? But we'll keep it moving.
Any conversation that I can't have at dinner with close, just don't do it.
fair enough. Well, thanks for that though, Shamina. Also, Alex gave us a little shout out as well.
Says Alex said, I spent 5 hours one day listening to your pod straight when I went walking around an island out in New Zealand alone. That's all the way from New Zealand. Wow.
Yeah.
And he says, which by the way was literally the most at peace I think I felt in my entire life.
What can I say, bruv?
On the exact opposite side of the world from anyone I know. Just my own thoughts and your bleep bleep in your ears.
No bullshit in his ears. Thanks for that, Alex. Thanks. Just so you know, How to Kill an Hour will deliver bullshit consistently wherever you are in the world.
Come
in your ears.
Come here for your daily BS.
Come here for your good bits of BS as well. So thanks for coming on the show today. One of the things we like to talk about at the start of the show is Billy's made me not forget. Don't forget, we also have a competition. Sorry, Bill. Billy reminded me about that. Don't forget, you got a last chance to win an Xbox version of Just Cause 4 Steelbook Edition. Is there a link for this in the description, Bill? He has nodded yes. So if you'd like to get involved and win that, click the link in the description.
Get involved.
There we go, get involved. So we've got a couple of things I want to talk to you about. We like mm-hmm. to talk about how we've been killing time recently. I want to talk to you about a couple of the places that you've been at. But real quickly, can we just throw to some content that we've just made before the show? It's a bit of visual content where we've tested out a whole bunch of phones. What have we tested out there?
So today we've tested out the Huawei Mate 20 Pro, the OnePlus 6T, Google Pixel 3 XL, the Samsung Galaxy S10 Plus, and where would the test be without the iPhone XS. Yeah.
And we tested out a whole bunch of features that they have, and we kind of gave it an out-of-the-box test. So for these, we can edit photos, right? We can tweak them, make the colors nice and filter them. We didn't do that. So today we picked up the cameras and we actually opened up and tested a regular photo,
right?
A portrait photo, mm-hmm. a portrait photo of a person, mm-hmm. Portrait post, selfie, panoramic, mm-hmm. lol. checked out what the colors were like by taking pictures for colorful things.
Yeah.
Did macro close-ups, worked with the wide angle features that only the S10 Plus and the Huawei have.
Mate
20 Pro.
Ultra wide angle lens.
That's it. Ultra wide angle lens. And then we tested them all in low light, right?
That's right.
A very detailed conversation, which you can see in here if you click the link in the description.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just quickly give it an overview, though. It's very interesting that out of all of these cameras, that these five handsets that we tried, there was a real consistent winner within it.
So for me, the consistent winner was the Pixel 3 XL, which, funny enough, is the only one out of them with a single camera lens. So everything's taking place, not just in the hardware, it's software focused as well. So the software is excellent. And because there's no bloatware with a Google device, there's less going on in the background as well. So all resources are dedicated to make sure that your photos come out the best that they can be.
Isn't it interesting that in a day and age where we're seeing more and more cameras on cameras on phones, mm-hmm. that the one that actually performs is the one that just has one solid camera.
One single lens, yeah.
Good bit of AI on it.
Exactly. And that conversation keeps coming back and forth. Like, why? What are the other manufacturers doing that? Or what's Google doing differently that other manufacturers can't replicate? And Google, as the owner of this Android platform, what are they doing that they can't share this?
Yeah.
A bit of software magic.
Yeah. You've got a certain je ne sais quoi, isn't it? Especially low light mode as well. Low light mode
is magical. Night sight on the Google Pixel is magical.
Pretty much turned off the lights in the studio, like left
and
the door open.
And you still get something.
Yeah, you get some good stuff. So yeah, check the full link to that bit of content.
Let's not spoil it.
In the show description. Go impressive. Like, there were some other cameras that perform well in other areas. We just picked our overall winner, but there were some other cameras that if you like to specifically do certain types of photos, you might lean into.
Go watch it, then you see why I've picked as my favorite anyway. Yeah, and then you can see everything else.
It's pretty cool. But you've been all over the world. You are all over the world. I feel like it's always, where is Gadgets Boy? You're like, where's Wally? Like, all over the world. Like, MWC mm-hmm. happened recently, Mobile
World Congress.
And it was in Barcelona.
How
was it, man?
It was great. I think I haven't been excited about MWC in the last, say, 3 years. And this year was very good. We saw some actually, like, good stuff you actually want to cover. All the phone manufacturers came out with something great. Even like processor chip manufacturers, they came out with amazing things as well that points us to what's to come in the future. We had like folding phones. Foldable devices in general. We had manufacturers who focus their device on entertainment, like Sony. So you got 21:9 aspect ratio devices, which again, not many people are thinking about that, but they're thinking about that. And for the first time, they're actually working with Alpha for their camera lenses. So I'm actually looking forward to trying it out in the real world, like we did today.
That'd be good for a comparison, wouldn't it, in the future? Yeah, exactly. Yeah, to throw those in the mix.
And if we think three camera lenses are too much, go speak to Nokia. They've released the Nokia 9 PureView with five lenses. They have their reasons. I think at first, when you look at it, you go, why would you do that? But The reason why they've done that is you've got two collars there, two collar lenses, and three monochromes to capture all the details that you need. So if you remember the good old 45 megapixel Nokia Lumia 1020, I think, I could be wrong, don't quote me on that, but you know what I'm talking about. Again, they're bringing that back in a modern way. So again, everything's in software, post-processing. I don't know how that's going to sit well with the average Joe who just wants a phone that's going to work. And most importantly, we had the foldable devices, like the Huawei Mate X, Samsung Galaxy Fold, and there's a company called Nubia who released the Nubia Alpha, which is a foldable wraparound smartphone that wraps on your wrist like a watch, but it's a phone.
One sec, so it's like a bracelet that goes around.
It's basically a big screen on your wrist, but you wear it like a watch.
Sick.
You can do hand gestures on it as well. In fact, let's not forget Energizer as well with the Power Max. 18,000 milliampere battery phone. It's chunky, but again, for me, my summary on that phone was it's not a phone, it's a battery pack with a phone attached to it.
Yeah.
It's as simple as that.
But who's going to get the last laugh when someone's sitting there on their little 5% battery?
And you're begging me to charge your phone with it because you can do that.
85% battery left.
Exactly.
Like, all right, I might help you out.
5 days into the festival, I'm still going.
Exactly. That's a festival winner, that brick phone.
It is. And LG, for me, took the big L out of all the manufacturers because they came out with something that was just like, who signs it off? Who in the head office was like, great idea, let's go with that. They had a phone where you can attach another screen to the side and it looks like a Nintendo DS. Is it DS with the opening?
Yeah, it looks like a book.
It looks a bit like that, which it makes sense if you're a gamer. It means you got this extra attachment, right? And then they've also got this thing where you can hand gesture turn like your volume control by just doing this. Like, is there a camera? So like you can almost do this.
So you're holding your palm up and you're like basically turning a fake knob.
Yeah.
So if you can do that over your screen.
Exactly that. And it works. And the only use case scenario that I can see for that is if I'm shaving and I'm listening to music for whatever reason, I don't want to touch my phone, then I can just do this.
Yeah.
But out of all the gestures, I'd rather voice control. I'd rather be like, turn volume down, not be like this.
Exactly, yeah. So
trying to do...
when your hands are busy, you don't want to be like, shave your face and then cut your face open by accident. So you're saying then, in terms of who won in terms of the folding phone situation? Who would you say? Who came out on top?
I was hoping you wouldn't ask me that.
there's a lot of chat around it.
I think I love the design of the Mate X, but I love the Galaxy Fold looks more robust.
Robust.
So one folds in, one folds out. So
are you in or out?
You do the math.
Shake it all about.
This is not Brexit, man. I am in.
I look forward to it. I feel like we heard a lot about it then.
Yeah.
But I want to actually kind of see.
Yeah, I think I'll save my judgment until we actually have it in hands and we can actually play with it and push it to its limits.
And also, once we have apps that are developed for it, that's when I think we'll really see what's worthwhile of it. Because beyond just having a bit of extra space to watch Netflix and read the paper.
That reminds me actually of, I was talking about processor chip companies, SoC companies. So Qualcomm, for example, they were all about 5G. In fact, all of MWC was 5G everywhere. I don't think you can actually turn without seeing the word 5G. Yeah.
Well, what the fuck is 5G though? For people that are confused, like what is 5G?
It's the next generation of network service as we know it. So for example, at the moment we've got 4G, LTE, etc. It just means that with 5G, we've got faster data speeds, we've got more bandwidth. So it means that, you know, when you go to the stadium and everyone's on the same traffic, like the traffic's too much, then you're like, I've got 4G, but I still can't load a WhatsApp message.
Yeah.
That will decrease that stuff. It will also support things like Internet of Things and like connected cities and cars. And there's a whole ton of information on 5G that I probably can't break down.
Well, you made a very good point to me when we were chatting on the phone the other day, which was people forget how much an increase in the amount of data that you can send on mobile can change the world. Like you literally said, without 5G, 4G and 3G, Instagram and Facebook and Twitter would not be where... Twitter would be there, but Instagram and Facebook would not be where they are in terms of being able to infinity scroll pictures, videos. Yeah.
Those are big files. And the fact that we can load those things on the go, even like Spotify, we can stream music.
Mm.
Like each song's like what? You're a music DJ.
Well, yeah, it depends on the quality that you download. But when you stream, you know, like you're pulling down an album, it could be like a 40, 50 megabyte job.
Exactly.
It's minimum. Do you know what I mean? You get increased sizes. So you've got things like Tidal and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You're looking at higher
and you're
file
streaming
sizes.
That because of 4G, you'd be able to stream that there and there. Even Twitter that we mentioned, the experience is different now because back in the day it was like a WAP text message thing. But because of faster data speeds, we're able to live stream on our feed. You can even do screen-in-screen or picture-in-picture on Twitter.
Yeah.
But now that we're going to get 5G, I'm excited to see what the next level of applications we're going to be seeing. Like, are we going to see the next Instagram? Are we going to see, you know, they think Netflix or video streaming services are going to be the next Spotify. The way we can just stream music there and there.
Yeah.
We'll be able to do that with movies on the go anywhere.
Yeah.
Which is funny because coincidentally, Apple's got an event coming up for their new streaming service.
Yes.
So again, everything's all interlinked somewhere, somehow.
It'll be very interesting. I mean, I'd love to see us step in a direction where we're using devices that are in a central location.
Yeah.
So just to clarify, now I roll with a computer that has all the processing power in a computer, right?
Mm-hmm.
I might be able to send stuff to Dropbox and pull it down from any device, whatever, but I'd love to just open up a screen and a keyboard anywhere in the world.
That's right.
Use my 5G to connect and work on a computer in real time.
That's like one thing that I would love to see is a proper cloud smartphone. Next Robin, they tried to do that before, but that didn't work out really well. But imagine a scenario where if you lose your phone, all you have to worry about is logging into another hardware.
Yeah.
It's no longer about, then I have to go to my backup files to restore everything first. It's just a matter of, like, you log in on a cloud computer and boom, my phone's back.
Yeah, that's great. Or we never have to roll the laptop. So we could just go meet at a cafe where there's a generic laptop. We log in and crack on from there.
And all your software's there, which kind of already exists, but data speeds doesn't allow
that kind of especially when you're doing like heavy bits of work like you know, editing film and stuff like that. That's not as easy, but 5G could make that much easier.
Positively, we'll find that. We'll see when when it's fully here. Qualcomm said he's here already, but
we'll see. Now last year you were talking to us about CES a little bit and you said there were a lot of cars at CES. Now this year you've only ended up at the Geneva International Motor Show. So talk us through that, man.
It was my first time there, and I've been to LA Auto Show, and in comparison this is meatier, this is better. Oh man, there's some mad concept cars there. I think my favorite would be the Peugeot. Peugeot concept car looks amazing. It was like a good mixture of classic and modern. Like, you look inside the car and it's just like futuristic steering wheel and like dash and control and stuff, but then you look at the seat, like the interior, then you get like this velvet, almost like an old Mustang, 1960s Mustang seating style with no headrest kind of thing, you know, like just low rider looking thing. But on the outside as well, it just looks futuristic. It's such a beautiful thing. I really hope they make it.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting that cars are becoming something that's moving into our tech and gadgets world, isn't it, right? Because I'm not really a car guy.
Would
you say you are into...
I am, because I grew up on that sort of, in that world of, you know, buying cars and tweaking them up and...
Racing,
but I can say that now because that's long gone. But yeah, it's...
Were you the guy with the 6x9s in the subwoofer in the back of your car?
Halfords knew my name. I had a staff card there that got me 40% off.
Oh, wow.
Every time I went there, I need a new battery, whether I need some speakers, Pioneer speaker sets, and like my sub in the back, my 6x9s.
So you were the kid where the speakers were worth more than your car, probably. The sound system, you invested more in the sound system than in the vehicle.
Almost, yeah. It's
sick.
So you like being at the Geneva International Motor Show was such a great experience. I just walked around in for ages, just in awe of like all these futuristic looking cars. Like, I'm trying to think. Bugatti had this car that's ridiculous. It cost like 9.7 million or something. I could be wrong. It cost that amount anyway. And all they've done is put extra body kit and all kind of stuff on the Chiron or something like that. I can't remember. But it still looks amazing, but I wouldn't spend that much unless I've just got silly money.
Yeah, so there's a lot of concept cars there.
A lot of concept cars. That's what the whole point is. A lot of the manufacturers came with what their vision of what the future cars would be. Which is nice to see. A lot of them are sort of staring towards self-driving vehicles and electric vehicles as well. Actually, EV is like a massive thing this year.
Okay.
A lot of the concept cars are EV. They envision to be electric vehicles.
So what's the next step with the EV stuff then? So where do you think we're going to be?
I think the limitations right now is charging stations. Once we nail that, once we can figure that out, I think the rest is history.
I got the idea. micro USB lead. Just make it that. A micro USB lead, plug it in anywhere.
The cable will fry as soon as you plug it in. It won't even get in. It will just go gone, zapped, disappeared.
You imagine that, people knocking in your doorbell. Excuse me, have you got a micro USB for my car, bro?
Have you got a spare cable?
Yeah.
Have you got that Energizer phone so I can charge my car?
Yeah, there you go. They should sell that as a package. Red Bull Escape Room Championship.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. So I went to that. I went to the last one, which was, I think, 2 years ago, if I can remember correctly. But anyway, it was amazing. Like, if you think you know escape room, this is totally different.
So do you get to watch people escaping, or do you get to escape as well?
No, the first time I went, I tried it out myself, just the lower level type of thing, because each one's actually designed for the actual championship. So no one gets to see until they get there and they get to play it. And it's all designed by MIT professors back in the States.
This is hard stuff.
It's not the typical, you've been to escape room here before.
We've done, that's what we, and you know what, that's very hard to kill an hour. We love to do an escape room, it's not, try and head out there.
Yeah, it's not the typical, you just gotta use your brain and be able to be logical or whatever. This is more like, there's maths involved, there's science involved, there's teamwork involved, and patience, a lot of patience, being able to keep calm under pressure.
All right. I look forward to hearing about that. I think we might try and get out there, man.
If you can, definitely do. I think this year it might actually be in London, if I'm thinking correct, because last time was in Budapest. Mm-hmm. So I think they're trying to have this year's one in London, if they haven't decided already. But
right, if it's in London,
you have no excuse.
Yeah, we're there, man. We'll head down there. All right. Well, thank you for coming on the show.
Yeah.
We like to just find out what's going on in the world a little bit as well. And something that's been kind of popping up online before we let you go. A gentleman won the lottery. I don't know if you heard about this.
No, what's this?
So winning the lottery is great, right? A whole chunk of money flying into your account, free of financial worry, no need to care if you're going to make it to the end of next month, whatever. Mm-hmm. No, you don't have to save any pennies. You can just throw pennies on the floor.
Do whatever you
want. Keep the change, mate. But somebody recently won the lottery.
Right.
And basically this picture went around of them picking up their, you know, you get to sign, you know, in front of everyone and pick up your check.
I saw that picture and he was wearing a mask.
Yeah. And somebody wore a scream mask and gloves so you wouldn't know who they were. Yeah.
Right.
Is in Chicago. I don't know. The link came from Chicago. I believe it's Chicago. But
yeah, I saw that on a Jamaican.
Was it a Jamaican guy?
I don't know. Someone else posted up. This is what social media does. Someone else memed it and said, well, this is what happens when a Jamaican person wins a lottery.
It got me thinking though, bruv. If you won the lottery, what would you do that, or would you be like, hey, I've won the lottery, and just know that your family's going to grow, your cousins are going to start hitting you up?
I think I'm quite brutal in the sense that it doesn't mean I won't give anything away. I think I'm very generous anyway, but I think I'd allocate certain amount to different people. Plus, I think people that are close to me, I know them, in the sense that I know people that can handle money and people that can't. So what I'm getting at is, the people that can't handle money, I know to get them a business set up.
Okay,
so
right.
So they can then make their own money, enable them to make their own money. And I have people that I know that if I gave 20 million, I know that he's okay. He's not going to come back to me the next day being like, oh yeah, sorry man, I squandered it yesterday. Could you give me another 20 mil?
Would you still go public with it though?
Yeah, of course.
So you're part of the 1 out of 10 people.
Yeah, I mean,
that would go, that just 1 out of 10 people go public. That's the statistic that we actually found out. Yeah,
I think I'd go public. Well, okay, let me put it this way. Let me rephrase. I have no problem going public or not going public. I have no problem with that at all.
Yeah.
So whether I go public or not, it doesn't affect me.
How much would you lend me if you went public?
Depends what you need it for. You'd have to give me a proper full pitch.
I need to give you a business plan.
Yeah, of what you're going to do with the money. Yeah, I'm not just going to be, you're just not going to ring me up and be like, I need a meal. Oh yeah, of course.
No, not a meal. I'd just be like, have a grand. just some playing around money.
For
yeah,
that, that's for that purpose alone, I won't give it to you. I'd be like, you need to think bigger, man.
All right, cool. All right, fair enough.
If I've just won 20 mil, don't ask me for a grand. Ask for something substantial.
Well, we've got the full stats about people that will go public. I mean, the most 5 common reasons that would encourage winners to go public anyway would be like, it would be futile to stay anonymous because, you know, you won't have control over it if you're being quiet about it. You can get recognition for a large charitable donation as well. That's why a lot of people do it. And others. We've got a full link to it on the show description. But we're running out of time now. I just want to say thank you very much for coming down to the show.
No problem at all.
Thanks for reviewing everything with us. I mean, I think it's really worthwhile. If you're unsure what phone to get because you want to take fleeky pictures, you should head to the link in the description and check it out. Myself and Gadgets Boy going through the best of the best.
Definitely,
phones can do. In the meantime, thank you very much for joining us here.
Thanks
on How To Feel Now, bruv. Appreciate that, man.
Pleasure, as always.
Safe.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Thank you very much for Gadgets Boy joining us here at How to Kill an Hour. And I'm very glad to say that I've got the chance to talk to a gentleman who has got many talents, many of which are kind of getting him a lot of interest on the internet at the moment, and also could potentially get him in trouble as well. Welcome Charlie Hopkinson to the show. How are you doing, sir?
Hello, I'm good. Thank you for having me.
Now, Charlie, I came across you... not literally, I didn't come across you, I don't know, never met you before. But I came across you because I was surfing the internet and I found a best of 2018 or a summary of 2018 from Morgan Freeman.
Ah, yes.
And I did some more investigating around how Morgan Freeman managed to explain 2018 from such a UK-centric point of view. And then I found out that actually... it was you, Charlie. So you're a man of many talents, but I guess we need to talk about how you've got an amazing voice when it comes to kind of simulating others at the moment. How the hell did you get into that?
So, the story itself is a little bit mundane, but I was thinking about this the other day. I've done impressions for about 7 years, but it all started because one of my friend's brothers posted an amazing Morgan Freeman impression that was already on YouTube, on Facebook. And right. that started it all off for me. And I, and this is literally now my career, 7 years down the line. I don't do anything else, which if you look at it from his point of view, it's weird that if he hadn't posted that video, my life could be completely different right now.
So you made a video, someone else posted it, and then now
He posted a video of someone else doing an amazing Morgan Freeman impression, and I used that to learn the impression.
How do you learn to be Morgan Freeman, bro?
You need about 5 years.
Okay.
Not much of a social life. It's very much an iterative process. So you, first of all, you're very bad, and then you just change the tiniest little tweaks, and you practice your accent, your body language, the rhythm of the voice, and it slowly starts to piece together.
Okay, so you would say that maybe you were somebody who may not have been very good at emulating voices, but you took yourself to school and schooled yourself.
Exactly, yeah, sort of came up with a process and then developed
right.
it. Yeah.
And you've used this process to develop a number of voices, right?
I have indeed, yeah.
Okay, cool. Now... now you say this is your full-time job. When you say this is your full-time job, you say this is you personally, you mimic other people's voices as a full-time job?
Yeah, pretty much. No one pays me. I just sort of sit here and do it. So I'm a voiceover artist and aspiring stand-up at the moment.
Nice.
And YouTuber.
Oh, and YouTuber, yeah. I mean, you've knocked out some great videos on YouTube. One that we really like here is the Rick and Morty impressions. Love those. Obviously, big Rick and Morty fan. You've called people as Morgan a few times as well, I guess.
I have, yeah. Well, I've done a couple of prank calls, actually. So I did one to the PlayStation Network, and people seem to really like that one. And then he actually strangely enough, just a few days ago, he hadn't watched the guy who I prank called got in touch with me a few days ago and told me it from his perspective, because he hadn't actually watched the video until 2 years later, which was an interesting development.
So what happened on his side of the office? Because there was a couple of "can I put you on holds" that happened.
Yeah, well, he says that he got quite a few prank calls, but he said that one was actually quite entertaining, so I'll take that, I think.
Have you ever got in trouble for prank calling? And if so, I'd love to hear the story.
For prank calling, I've had ones where people have just not been into it and not like willing to play along, and it's just been fairly not very nice conversation. But I haven't got into trouble yet. Maybe I need to push the boat out a little bit more.
Yeah man, let's do it.
Right now, let's ring someone up. Who are we going to ring?
Yeah, let's call the Queen. Let's get busy. If you're going to do it big.
She'll be a good sport.
Yeah. And also, you're kind of using this to move into the world of comedy as well, right? So you're a stand-up comedian.
Yes, I am, yeah. So I've done stand-up for about a year and a half, and yeah, it's going well. Enjoying it.
And how do you use your skills as a voiceover artist in your comedy? Is that a part of it, or is it totally different?
Yeah, so I was a maths teacher for 2 years. So a lot of my stand-up is about being a maths teacher and sort of weave these sort of surreal impressions into my stories and anecdotes from that time. It's fairly impressions heavy. But I do have a few jokes that stand alone on their own, cool. 2 feet.
Fair enough. And what was it like being Mr. Hopkinson at school, like in this day and age? What are kids like nowadays?
Not good. I don't know how much
shits
I can say, but if they're
oh mate, it's an explicit podcast. If they're little shits, you tell us who and why. We'll go punch them up. No, we won't. We won't do that.
I'd like to confirm they are little shits. No. teaching was really good, but I think I prefer what I'm doing now. And it was a bit surreal when they found all my YouTube stuff on the sort of the second week, and it went around the school and then became sort of, yeah, local okay. celebrity.
So your teacher, the kids kind of found out about it at school. Were they going, "Sir, can you do Morgan Freeman? Sir, can you do this? Sir, can you do this?"
Yeah, so when they found out about it, because I wasn't very good at managing behaviour, and they were quite like, some of them were pretty annoying. As soon as they found out about it, they were like good for about a week until I did the impressions, and they're like, "Wow!" And then they went back to being like really naughty again. So I should have just held off for a little bit and milked that good behaviour.
Yeah. Fair enough. But now you're a full-time voiceover artist, stand-up comedian, and I guess I feel like you get asked to do impressions all the time. I'm not going to ask you on the show, but do you get asked to do impressions all of the time then?
You can tell when people want to ask you, but to be honest, I find that most people are quite polite and just sort of like, "I'm not going to ask you." My friends and family are absolutely sick of it. They'll be like, "Oh, if we're ever in a social situation and someone else wants me to do it," they're like, "No, he's not doing it. We've heard it enough," because they've heard it when I was terrible and not very good at the impression. So
okay. So do you think your mum, if you called her up and you started doing a Morgan Freeman, she'd be like, if you started doing someone, she'd be like, "Charlie, get the fuck off the phone."
That's a direct quote. Yeah, the fuck.
So what's the next challenge for you voice wise? Is there any voice that you can't master, do you think?
You're going to ask me to do the ones I can't do.
Yeah, so can you do all of the ones that you can't do as a great example of your voice?
So here's the Queen. There's a few that I haven't been able to do. I've sort of got like a archetypal voice where I find old men easier to do. I think one voice that I really haven't been able to master is Tom Hanks. I gave it a go, but maybe I need to go back to it. But a recent one for me is to do all the Peaky Blinder characters. So that's been...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's sort of...
That's decent. Have you found that your voice has changed because you're doing other voices so much?
People tell me my voice sounds a little bit like Morgan Freeman now. That I just get like a hint of it. But then some people say like, no. I think my voice has got deeper in the last few years, for sure.
Yeah. All right. So talking like Morgan Freeman and other people gives you a bit of extra boom boom bass in your voice. Yeah. All right.
Yeah, I think so.
Nice. Do you think you could ever dress up like we've seen it before, like face jacker and stuff like that? Do you reckon you could ever do that, get away with that? Are you quite into doing stuff like that? Because I think that kind of comedy does resonate well when it's done well.
Yeah, I haven't actually seen face jacker, so I wouldn't be able to tell you that exactly what that is. But yeah, I feel like, I don't know, if comedy's funny, I'm up for doing it, really. As long as it's tasteful, I guess.
Yeah, yeah, I hear that. So if we're gonna play out a bit of your voiceover work at the moment today, okay. What should we play? What's one of your favourite bits that we should play out on the show?
What's one of my favourite bits? If you were going to go down the Peaky Blinders route, I did, when England were doing well in the World Cup in the summer, I did sort of a dub over of one of the key scenes in Peaky Blinders with having them talking about the World Cup, which did really well and people seem to enjoy. That might be a good one. Any of the Morgan Freeman, really. Or I could just do some Morgan Freeman if you wanted. I don't know.
Well, oh yeah, we'd love some Morgan Freeman. I mean, I don't know. What kind of Morgan Freeman could we ask for?
Give Morgan Freeman a scenario that he could be in, that you want him to be in.
All right, right. I reckon Morgan Freeman is in a queue and there's a lady in front of him complaining to customer service, and I'd like to hear his internal monologue as he gets more and more frustrated with a woman in the queue.
Okay.
Well, I gotta say, really quite annoyed. What the hell does she think she's doing? Three times she complained, and well, I just want to get my caramel latte. That's all I want. A caramel latte and maybe a piece of biscuit. That's what I want. Get the fuck out the way.
I don't even know what shop that is. Was that a Starbucks? Or
a- I reckon that was a coffee shop of some sort. Oh, that's great, man.
Where's the customer service blocking?
I love it, man. It's amazing. I would love at some point to hear you and Morgan have a conversation, a Morgan on Morgan conversation.
That would be great. If he was game for that, I would certainly want to do that. But
I'm going to put it out there. We're going to try and make it happen.
Oh, great. If you know him, just give him a call. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'll just WhatsApp him now. Uncle Morgs. It's light work. We'll do it. But no, thank you very much for coming on the show. What can we look out for you in the future? What would you like to plug, let our listeners see and hear you doing?
I would say just go check out my YouTube channel, making lots of new content. I'm doing a lot of those sort of dub things, which enjoy doing. I think people are enjoying as well. Look out for me as a stand-up some point in the next couple of years, Edinburgh and around the country. Come see me at a gig.
Where can we find you on the other social medias as well?
Instagram, Twitter and Facebook. I'd say not so much Twitter, but Facebook and Instagram. Would it be charlie.hopkinson4 on Instagram and Charlie Hopkinson on Facebook. Go check it
out. Thank you very much. Well, I appreciate you coming on the show. Appreciate you sharing a little bit of your talent as well with us. Like I said, I didn't want to say, hi, how's it going, Charlie? Do a voice. But no, thanks for doing some voice for us, man. And for joining us on this week's How to Kill an Hour, man. And I just want to say, man, it's great in 2019 to have people that are just putting out fun comedy content for the sake of it just being fun. There's a lot going on in the world right now, bro. We need people like you to give us some comic relief, quite literally. So please keep doing what you're doing, Charlie, and I'd love to have you on the show at some point. If you're ever in London, let's sit down, let's have a chat, man. Let's chop it up, talk about your comedy, and do some pranking together, maybe. That'd be a laugh.
Will do. Sounds good. Yeah.
All right, Charlie. Well, you have an amazing day, man. And I'll speak to you soon. Thank you very much. By the way, this has been How to Kill an Hour. I've been Marcus Bronzy. And you've been? Charlie?
Charlie Hopkinson.
There you go. And you've been Charlie Hopkinson. Doesn't even know who he is now.
Dramatic
he does so many
pause.
Voices. Yeah, it was very dramatic. Thank you for killing some time with us. Please don't forget, there's plenty of links in the description for you to see the phone reviews that myself and Gadgets Boy did. You can win yourself a Steelbook edition of Just Cause 4 and also find out more information about why people would not want to share the fact that they've won the lottery or the many reasons. And of course, some clips of the amazing Charlie Hopkinson. We'll put that Peaky Blinders clip up there as well. All right, thank you very much.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.